Welcome or welcome back to Horse for Whore. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week we are covering the Taco Bell Strangler. Ooh.
I really want a quesadilla.
I know, me too. I want like a burrito supreme. What day does this one come out? The 21st. The 21st. So it'll still be October.
Yep.
Yeah, so we get another serial killer for October. I think that's two serial killers for the month of October.
Yeah.
For the two episodes.
Pretty fitting.
Wait. What's your favorite thing to eat at Taco Bell?
I always get a chicken quesadilla.
Yeah, those are always...
I always get a
If I don't know what I want, those are always safe.
Yeah. I like the nacho fries.
Me too. I love them.
They're good. Yeah. And then... What is it?
I also like the Doritos tacos.
I get the gordita crunch with the Doritos taco in it.
Oh my god, I'm gonna text Steven.
No wings today, only Taco Bell.
Are you gonna grab Taco Bell on your way home? He is at, so it's Sunday, we record on Sundays, so obviously it's football Sunday, and he's at some Vikings bar out here in Colorado. We're not Vikings fans, first off, check yourself. Our friend Matt is a Vikings fan. And they have a bar dedicated to the Vikings, which I was like, how many people in Colorado like the Vikings, bro? But apparently enough to have
at
a whole ass bar.
One with money.
Yeah. One with money. All right. We'll see. He better bring me back Taco Bell. But anyway, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. Between 1992 and 1994, nine young, beautiful black women were found raped and strangled to death in Charlotte, North and South Carolina. So this city actually sits on the border. That's why I said both. Because I was like, during my research, I would be like, yeah, in North Carolina. And then I'd be like, wait, now we're back in South Carolina. So I'm just going to refer to just the town. Okay. For 22 months, the killer remained at large, causing widespread outrage in the city, especially within the minority communities these murders occurred in. Citizens were angered by the lack of urgency, care, and due diligence the police took, noting that they were especially angry by the lack of patrols in the area, despite it being an obvious hunting ground.
I would say I'm surprised, but...
I'm not.
Yeah.
After nearly 2 years of botched investigative work, the Charlotte police finally called in the FBI. And Therese Costin, who's a professor of criminal justice at the University of North Carolina, later said, quote, "The killer at large in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg area did not fit the usual profile of a serial murderer. For one, he slew friends and acquaintances and even coworkers. The very people he killed trusted him." End quote. So this is the story of Henry Lewis Wallace, better known as the Taco Bell Strangler.
What a lame ass.
Oh, Stephen responded and said, it's 10 a.m.
So?
I said, I'm going to say, but that doesn't make me want Taco Bell any less. So Henry Wallace was born on November 4th, 1965 in Barnwell, South Carolina. His mother, Lottie, was a single mother and worked long hours at the nearby textile factory. She was said to be incredibly strict and verbally abusive, criticizing both of her children for the smallest mistakes. So the family grew up in extreme poverty, with his childhood home not having indoor plumbing or electricity. And when Henry would outgrow his clothing, he would have to wear his sister's hand-me-downs.
Feel kind of bad for the kid.
Yeah. Also, when Lottie felt that the children need to be disciplined, but she didn't have the energy to do it, she would force Henry and his sister to get switches from the yard and beat each other with it.
That's the whole complex.
But despite his violent home life, Henry was said to be really popular in high school. He was elected to the student council, he was one of the only male cheerleaders, and he actually graduated in 1983, becoming a disc jockey for the local radio station. Which, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But this was short-lived, because he was fired for stealing CDs just months into the job.
I don't feel like you need to steal them when you work there.
Yeah, right? He enlisted in the Navy in 1985, and that same year, Navy. I know. If you guys haven't listened to our last episode, go back and listen to it. No time to explain, but he was also in the Navy. That same year, Henry also married his high school sweetheart, Maretta. I think that's how you say it. Marietta? M-A-R-E-T-T-A. Marietta?
Maretta. I guess it would be Maretta.
Yeah. Okay, Maretta. I'm sorry. We're trying. during his enlistment, Henry used several drugs, including crack cocaine, and he committed multiple crimes.
Solid choice.
Yeah.
I think they tell you not to do that when you enlist in the military, but I'm not positive. Actually, I am positive. They say don't.
Yeah. In Washington, he was served warrants for burglaries in and around Seattle. In 1988, he was arrested for breaking into a hardware store. And that June, he pled guilty to second-degree burglary.
Why?
And a judge sentenced him to, I lost my spot, 2 years of supervised probation. And despite these crimes, Henry somehow managed to get an honorable discharge in 1992.
Well, boys will be boys. Yeah.
Soon after he was discharged, he and Maretta divorced, and he actually moved back home to Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, you know, it's on the border, whatever. Charlotte, he moved back in with his mother and sister.
Mm, you don't say.
And so even here, his life was unstable, obviously. He was fired from several jobs before finally landing his job at Taco Bell, where he was a manager.
Good job.
He
finally got something stable.
But yeah, Taco Bell. Yeah. Represent.
Crunchwrap Supreme.
Yeah. So Henry kept smoking crack cocaine during this time, and he got his girlfriend pregnant in 1992. And if you'll recall, 1992 to 1994 is when Henry unleashed terror on Charlotte. So here we go. In June of 1992, Henry let himself into his girlfriend's apartment using a key he had taken from her. Sadie McKnight.
Not even given.
Yeah, just taken. His girlfriend, Sadie McKnight, shared the apartment with her coworker named Caroline Love, which I think that is just such a cute name. Caroline Love. That just sounds, I don't know, it sounds so good. So the women worked together at a local restaurant named Bojangles, and neither women were home when Henry let himself in.
Have you had Bojangles?
No, I haven't.
Good biscuit.
I've heard of the name, but I've never had it. Mm-hmm. Bojangles. Very good.
Like Hardee's, but better.
What? Better?
Yep. Their hash browns are way better. And they have, like, sometimes they used to do, like, these seasonal, like, biscuits with blueberries on them, and they would put, like, the icing on it, so it was, like, a sweet little treat. It was so good.
Is this a South thing?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I got it from Tennessee.
Caroline Love was the first of the two women to return, and when she did, Henry tried to make a move by kissing her on the cheek.
But isn't Sadie...
His girlfriend? Uh-huh. Men are so stupid.
Solid choices. Yeah. Love the crack cocaine. Isn't Sadie pregnant?
Yeah.
Takes a key, lets himself in, and it's like, okay.
You know who looks good tonight? Solid. Your roommate. Are you fucking stupid? We're roommates for a reason. Job. Anyway.
Yeah. Good job. I bet it worked out, huh?
So Caroline, obviously disgusted, told Henry not to do that, and if he did it again, she would tell Sadie. And Henry, full of toxic masculinity, responded by putting her in a chokehold that he later described to police as the Boston Choke. He then dragged Caroline to the bedroom, removed her clothes, and raped her while continuing to apply the chokehold. When Caroline came to... obviously, because she was unconscious while he was choking her out. She began to struggle, and he choked her to death. And he choked her to death with the cord of a curling iron.
Mm-hmm. See, this is what happens when you have a tiny penis and a huge ego.
A huge, fragile ego.
Yeah.
So Henry then wrapped Caroline's corpse in her bed sheets, stuffed her into an orange garbage bag, and dragged her to his car. Returning to the apartment, Henry stole a roll of quarters from Caroline and locked the door to the apartment.
How much crack cocaine can a roll of quarters get you?
I know. Like, that's it.
It's just like $5. Isn't a roll of quarters $5?
I think it's 10. I'm not sure. 10? I think so.
How much crack cocaine can $10 get you?
None. So that he then drove the vehicle to Charlotte city limits and dumped Caroline Love's body in a ditch. So Sadie, again, who is a girlfriend, returned to the apartment and was contacted by Kathy Love, Caroline's sister. So Kathy wanted to know if Sadie knew where Caroline was because Caroline's supervisor was looking for her, saying that she missed a work shift.
Okay.
So Sadie, realizing this was not like Caroline, told Kathy that she'd not seen her, and the two women went to the police station to file a missing persons report. But guess who fucking went with them? Henry.
For what?
I know. He's just like, I don't know where she is. Oh my God.
I haven't seen her.
Not to stop this, but Steven asked me what I wanted for Taco Bell.
What are you going to get?
What should I get? I'm going to say, I want the 3 Locos Doritos taco meal with, you always got to get that, Baja Blast Mountain Dew.
A quesarito would be good, too.
Yeah, that would be good. Now that we are hungry.
I'm so hungry.
Okay, so where were
Please
we?
Please kill my hunger with this trash.
So Henry went to the police station. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So the investigators learned that Caroline had not been seen since leaving the morning shift. And during that shift, Caroline's manager had traded her a roll of quarters so that she could do laundry. So she gave him cash. She got the quarters.
Okay.
The investigator searched the women's apartment and found that it had some suspicious signs. So furniture seemed to be disrupted. There were missing the bed sheets, the missing roll of quarters, and some of Caroline's belongings were missing, notably her purse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also, her laundry hamper was full, meaning that she hadn't gone out to do laundry yet like she was planning to.
Yeah.
So, interesting. The police continued to search for Caroline Love, but every lead was met with a dead end. No one interviewed Wallace, and the investigation declared Caroline as a missing person. Her body would not be discovered for nearly 2 years. Fun fact,
holy crap.
Just like 1 week after this murder, Henry moved in with Sadie.
Okay. You have to be real fucked up on another level to have killed your pregnant girlfriend's roommate in their house together, and then you move in to her.
What? Yeah, exactly. And to go to the, police station with them and say, I don't know what happened.
Oh my God, she's missing. What a...
Yeah, sleazeball. There's lots of creature. Words.
Yeah.
So, 8 months later, in February of 1993, Shauna Hawk, who was just 20 years old, had gotten home from college classes.
Why do I know that name?
I don't know. Shauna Hawk. Makes me think of Sadie Hawkins, the dance thing.
Oh, true. Yeah.
So, Shauna was slipping off her coat when she heard her doorbell ring. She opened the door, and it was her manager from Taco Bell, Henry Wallace.
No, we do not do out-of-office.
Hell no, we don't. Goodbye. I don't know you after work. What the hell?
Calling the cops. I don't know this guy.
So, according to Henry, who, later confesses to everything, told investigators that Shauna let Henry ride in because she obviously knew him.
I don't care. Why are you at my house?
Yeah.
Why do you know my address?
They chatted for a while, and Henry got up to leave, but as he did, he hugged Shauna, saying that he wanted to have sex with her.
Great.
Obviously reluctant, Shauna agreed and led Henry up to her bedroom.
Hey.
And again, this is all according to Henry. But he told Shauna to remove her clothes, and she told him that she was scared. Henry again told her to remove her clothes, and she did, but then she started crying. Henry raped Shauna while she cried, and after raping her, he told her to get dressed, and then he took her into the bathroom. He put her in the same Boston chokehold he used on Caroline Love until she was unconscious. Henry then ran a bath and put Shauna's body into the bath face down. He then went upstairs, took $50 out of her purse, and left.
What is he doing with this money?
Buying crack cocaine, girl. Not that he can buy a lot, but... So Shauna's body was discovered later that evening by her mother, Sylvia, and her boyfriend, Daryl.
Oh, God.
The investigators interviewed co-workers at the Taco Bell that Henry worked at, friends, classmates, and again, nothing turned up with the case going completely cold.
Wait. So you're telling me, at this police department, we have a missing girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude went to the police station to report her. And then we have a murder or a dead girl in her own apartment. And this same person is connected. So whether or not these cases are connected at all, the fact that there is one person in two different cases, one murder and one missing, I would look at that.
Yep. I mean, me too. It's called being a good investigator. But alas.
It could be a coincidence, but...
But that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, like, you should look into that, definitely. It could be, like, the easiest way to find something.
Yeah. But here we are. Botched investigation, like I said at the top, girl.
And also, if they had done any fingerprints at both of this... Like, obviously, his prints are going to be at the scene of his girlfriend's place. But if you had fingerprinted this other girl's place, Shauna's,
yeah.
Why would he have any reason to be there?
Exactly. Again, just going back to the basics, I'm not a cop, but I do know what I would do in this situation.
Same.
So at this point, Henry's drug use was escalating and his addiction was not cheap. He needed money and he needed it badly.
Probably want to get more than $10 in quarters, but okay.
Henry decided to visit another coworker named Audrey Spain. Audrey?
They're just doing this for money.
That's what he claims. But, I mean, there's obviously, like, a huge sexual motive to this, too, because rapes them. So it's like, what was the reason you came in? Was money just, like, the extra benefit to it? Or, which I would assess, yes.
Maybe he just rationalized it as, oh, he needed money.
Yeah.
To himself.
Yeah, to be like, oh yeah, I'm just going to rob them, and then he rapes and murders them.
He is obviously very broken.
So Audrey, who is 24, had just returned from a family vacation. She was said to be an extremely dependable employee, so when she failed to show up at work two nights in a row, the other Taco Bell managers knew that something was up. One of the managers went to Audrey's apartment. What?
Including?
No, the other one. I'm sure that Henry was like, who's Audrey? But anyway.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. So one of the managers went to Audrey's apartment and they saw that her car was in the parking lot. So they obviously thought she must be home.
Mm.
They tried knocking on her door. They were peering into the windows and still there was just no manager. There was no answer.
Love it. Can we make that a thing?
Well, I have answer and manager right next to each other, so I said manser, whatever I said. Anyway, she didn't fucking answer. So the managers, knowing that this is like, you know, a big deal, contacted Audrey's sister to see if she could get a hold of her. She could not, spoiler alert. So the next morning, her sister called the apartment's janitor, who was actually able to enter.
Mm-hmm.
That person found Audrey's naked body sprawled across her bed.
Great.
Her clothing was strewn about the room, and a t-shirt and bra were tied around her neck in obviously like a makeshift rope. The medical examiner later determined that Audrey had been raped and then strangled to death. Henry later confessed that he showed up at Audrey's apartment under the pretense of checking in on her after vacation. They chatted, smoked some weed, and caught up. But Henry suddenly flipped a switch and threw Audrey to the ground, demanding to know the combination of the Taco Bell safe. Audrey explained that she obviously didn't fucking know what the combination was because she wasn't a manager. Exactly.
Why would she know?
Yeah.
No, he's hiding from something.
He's stupid. He then demanded to have access to her personal account, but she just returned from vacation, so she didn't have a lot of money in there.
You got no money.
Yeah. frustrated, Henry placed Audrey in a chokehold until she passed out. Just like the past two murders, he then took her to the bedroom and raped her.
What happened in his childhood to make him want to do this chokehold thing?
He then tied clothing around her neck in a makeshift rope and strangled her to death. He took her body to the shower, washed any evidence from it, and then threw her back on the bed. On his way out, he stole Audrey's credit card. The similarities between Shauna and Audrey's murders were obviously striking at this point. Both women were young, black, attractive, and had been killed in their homes. Both of them worked at the same Taco Bell, were killed by, ligature strangulation, and had insignificant amounts of money taken. Their home showed no sign of forced entry, indicating that they both knew the murderer, and both of their bodies were cleaned of any evidence. However, the police made no fucking connections to this, and the case grew cold.
Wow. Wow. This is great. Carolina's police work at its best.
Yep.
Also, as a side note, have you watched the movie Hereditary?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Why?
Just don't.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Oh, isn't it pretty fucked up?
Yeah, I think I need therapy.
Uh-oh.
Just for the movie.
I mean, we all need therapy. BetterHelp, please sponsor us.
Oh, huh? You said BetterHelp?
Yeah.
You think they give us free memberships?
Yeah, I hope so. I need some therapy, bro.
Dude, I just started.
Oh, really? Good. Congrats. Yeah, love it. Anyway, just 6 short weeks later, in August 1993, Henry struck again. He went to the home of Valencia Jumper, who was the friend of his sister. So he talked his way into Valencia's home, saying he just needed to talk with her because he'd gotten in a big fight with Sadie, his girlfriend.
No.
After talking for a while, Henry asked if he could use Valencia's phone to call Sadie and tell him where he was.
Where's yours?
All right. When she turned around, though, Henry placed her into a chokehold, dragged her into the bedroom, and raped Valencia. He then grabbed a towel and choked her to death. But at this point, his method took a turn. Instead of just leaving after killing Valencia, he admitted that he soaked her body in rum, took the battery out of the smoke detectors, struck a match, and lit her body on fire.
That's excessive. Everything that he's doing is excessive. That's even more. What the fuck?
So, despite the test showing that Valencia did not die of carbon monoxide poisoning or finding evidence of inhalation through, soot in her throat, the medical examiner still ruled her cause of death to be, quote, thermal burns, end quote. This decision...
So she wasn't even dead.
Huh?
He didn't even choke her to death.
No, he did choke her to death, but the medical examiner was like, oh, she died from the fire. Which, no, because there's no evidence that she was alive when the fire happened. And
so then how do they, who employs it?
I know. Okay. And this decision effectively rules her death to be accidental. So Valencia Jumper's case was quickly closed.
No, it can't be accidental. She didn't soak herself in rum and light herself on fire.
Yep. It's amazing.
Okay.
So, fast forward to September 1993, 5 weeks after murdering Valencia, Henry stops by another woman's house named Michelle Stinson. Michelle, knowing Henry from Taco Bell, let him in. So I don't think that Michelle actually worked there. From all that I'd seen, she ate there often and knew Henry because he was like, you know, a regular worker.
No. They don't seem like they're friends. Why would you let him in?
So the two chatted, and after a while, Henry told Michelle that he wanted to have sex with her. Not wanting this, Michelle told him no and that she was sick. Henry, again, toxic masculinity, demanded to see the meds that she was taking for this so-called sickness.
Just toxic.
Right? Like, women don't owe you shit. Why can't women just say no and that be enough, right? Like, no, I don't want to fuck you. See ya. But it's not. When Michelle said that she wasn't taking any meds, Henry then raped her on the kitchen floor. He tried to strangle her to death, but Michelle kept fighting.
Good.
He managed to grab a nearby towel and attempted to strangle her in the same way he'd strangled previous victims, but Michelle refused to give up. Eventually, Henry had to stab Michelle in the back 4 times, killing her.
So what was the sickness?
She just said that she was sick. Like, she was like, I don't want to have sex with you, I'm sick. That's the world we live in. Women can't just say no. We have to make up an excuse. Henry then used a washcloth to wipe his prints from everything in the house. He fled the apartment, tossing the washcloth and knife in a nearby wooded area. Oh, this is going to be really fucked up. Michelle's 2 children, a 5- and a 3-year-old,
oh, no,
found their mother's body on the kitchen floor. So these 2 children spent the better part of an entire day with their mother's body before a family friend stopped by and they told them that, quote, mommy was sleeping on the kitchen floor, end quote.
My God.
So this medical examiner determined that Michelle had died from the stab wounds, but with ligature strangulation as a contributing cause. And just like the others, the police were unable to make a connection between Michelle and Henry, and her case also grew cold. However, the police are finally starting to notice that something is up, and they're starting to do their job, so they held an emergency press conference.
Oh, just now?
Just now! After three dead women and 1 missing.
Better late than never.
Yep. They appointed Sergeant Gary McFadden as the lead investigator, and in response to the community's outrage, McFadden actually ordered increased patrols in East Charlotte, which likely, you know, impacted Henry's crime spree. Because he had, like, this waiting, or, like, a cooling off period. Also, during this cooling off period, though, he had his kid with Sadie, you know, his longtime girlfriend. And on February 4th, 1994, he was arrested for shoplifting, but he actually never showed up to court. So a warrant was issued for his arrest, but never fulfilled.
Amazing.
It's great. Shortly after his arrest, though, his crime spree picks back up. So.
You don't say.
In February 1994, he decided to call Vanessa Mack, who was the sister of one of his Taco Bell employees. According to Henry, the two talked for a while, and eventually he asked for a hug. Vanessa said fucking no and refused to hug him. So this time Henry asked if he could have something to drink. As soon as Vanessa turned around, Henry pulled a pillowcase from under his shirt and began to strangle her. He demanded to know the pin to her debit card, and after she gave it to him, Henry dragged Vanessa into the bedroom and raped her. He then ordered Vanessa to get dressed before strangling her to death. And later that same day, Henry tried to use Vanessa's card to pull money out of the ATM.
I hope it was the wrong pin.
She gave him the wrong pin.
Good, get fucked.
Yeah, get fucked, bro.
I bet he was pissed.
Yeah. So Vanessa's body was found the next morning by her mother. There were no reports of Vanessa's murder on the news that night, or the next night, or any night. And the investigators failed to make note of the fact that Vanessa's sister worked at the same Taco Bell as Shauna Hawk and Audrey Spain.
You don't say. So, also, here's an idea. Why don't we have distress pins for our debit cards also? Like, I know I have it for, like, the alarm system and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd think that they would have that.
And I thought at ATMs there was one.
I don't know what it is. It'd be smart if there was one, though.
I feel like there is.
We should look it up and put probably it in the notes. Probably
not in 92.
Yeah, probably not in 92.
So, yeah. But yeah, that would have been great because give him the distress pen and as soon as he uses it, like, instantly caught.
Only 2 weeks pass. 2 fucking weeks. It's now March 1994. Henry stops at the apartment of his friend Vernon Woods with the intention of robbing, raping, and murdering Woods' girlfriend, Brandy Henderson.
What the fuck is wrong with this dude?
I know. However, Vernon was
home. Hey, bro, just stop by when I get with your girlfriend.
Yeah. However, when Henry stopped by, Vernon was home, which Henry wasn't expecting, so that flustered him.
Okay.
He told Vernon that he was leaving town for a while and that he'd just come to say goodbye.
Bye.
But before leaving the complex, Henry realized that he knew someone else who lived there, Betty Bucom, who happened to also work at Bojangles.
Bojangles.
Betty was the assistant manager, so he thought that she might know the combination to the safe.
She doesn't.
So Betty answered the door, and Henry told her that he needed to use her phone. Happy to help a coworker's boyfriend because she's a nice human being, she let Henry in. Once Betty turned around, though, Henry grabbed her, demanded the keys, the safe combination, and the alarm code for Bojangles. According to Henry, Betty refused to tell him about the safe's combination for nearly 30 minutes. Finally, Betty surrendered the code, and Henry stopped choking her. Betty then asked, quote...
For 30 minutes?
30 minutes, girl. And Betty then asked, quote, why did you do that to me? End quote. And Henry responded by telling her that he was sick and that he had hurt a lot of people. He then choked Betty until she was unconscious, moved her into the bedroom, and raped her. Afterwards, once Betty came to, he demanded that she get dressed, give him all the money in her purse, and he then strangled her to death.
What a twat.
Now, just 12 hours later, before anyone had even realized that Betty was dead, Henry took another victim.
2 weeks to 12 hours?
Yep.
That's a major acceleration.
He returned back to Vernon Woods' apartment, still intent on killing Brandy Henderson.
I can't with this guy.
Pretending that he needed to drop something off for Vernon, Brandy led him into the apartment. The two chatted, and once again, Henry asked if Brandy had a drink for him. When Brandy turned around, Henry attacked her from behind, forced her into the bedroom, and told her to get naked. According to Henry, she begged to hold her son, which he allowed. So, while Brandy was holding her baby across her chest, Henry raped her. Once done, I know, it's a hard one.
It's a different case. We're done.
It's a hard one. Once done, Henry told Brandy to put the baby back into the crib and get dressed. Once she was dressed, Henry then strangled her to death.
I kind of hope someone cut his dick off.
However, the baby would not stop crying during this time.
Duh.
He tried to give the baby a pacifier, and that didn't work. He decided to take a towel from the bedroom and strangled the small infant until it cried. But luckily, the baby survived with no permanent injuries.
Okay, good.
So, following
these... Please tell me this dude got the death penalty.
He did, yeah.
Good.
Not that he deserves it. I hate to say that, but he agree. Deserves
it. I don't think the death penalty should be a thing, but I think this guy should be fucking gutted.
He's basically a prime candidate, yeah.
Yeah.
So following these two murders, the police started to do some real investigative work.
Oh.
Yeah. They realized that Brandy and Betty had been murdered in the same apartment complex in the same way.
Wow.
They also finally realized that these scenes matched Vanessa Mack's scene.
No way.
The detectives approached the family of all three victims and asked for a list of people that the women might let into their apartment. And Henry Wallace's name appeared on all three lists.
Wow. That's amazing.
So, on March 11th, Betty's stolen car was actually recovered, but all fingerprints on the inside were actually cleaned.
That's amazing that he knew to do that in 94.
Right, and that he was kind of smart. A fucking dumbass, but he was, like, a smart killer. I hate to say that.
Dumbass, yeah.
As a last-ditch effort, the investigators searched the trunk for prints, and they got a hit. The fingerprints matched Henry Wallace. And when Sergeant McFadden ran his name to see his criminal history, he found a long list of burglary, armed rape, and an outstanding warrant for shoplifting.
Armed rape?
Armed rape, yep.
He's been arrested for armed rape before?
Yep.
And these girls are missing / murdered / raped?
And they all have a connection?
And okay.
I'm telling you, it doesn't take much to be a cop. I'm telling you.
Wow.
A citywide hunt for Henry Van began. However, that same day, March 11th, Henry murdered his final victim, Deborah Slaughter.
No. Okay. I thought you were going to say Sadie.
No.
Not that it's any better.
So, Deborah had previously worked with Sadie at Bojangles. And she knew Henry because, unfortunately, she too was addicted to crack cocaine. So she kind of knew him from that scene, but also knew him by knowing Sadie.
Okay.
So Henry went to Deborah's apartment and asked her to buy him some drugs. Deborah, trying to get her act together, said that she needed the money for rent and that she wasn't going to be able to buy any drugs for them to use.
Good for her.
Henry then asked for something to drink. And I'm sure we all know where this is going.
Not really sure. Tell me again.
As soon as she turned around, he began to strangle her. He then forced her to undress and raped her.
I'm not turning my back to people.
Yeah, I know. Just get a drink and you just back up.
Yeah.
Once done, he then forced Deborah to get dressed and took the $40 from her purse. Deborah then managed to slap him and scream for the police. Henry pushed her to the ground and attempted to strangle her with a towel. However, Deborah kept fighting, and eventually Henry had to grab a nearby pocket knife and stabbed her over 38 times in the stomach and chest.
I hate this guy a lot.
He then left the apartment with the money he stole, bought some crack cocaine, apparently $40 is enough, and he spent the entire night getting high.
I hope it was the worst high of his life.
Same. So during this time, as he's murdering Deborah, the police are spending the evening staking out his apartment.
Okay.
On March 12th, the next day, they actually managed to track Henry down at approximately 5 p.m. They claim that he was, quote, very calm and collected, end quote, and surrendered without a fight. Henry was taken to the station where the investigators questioned him, and he later confessed to all 9 murders. The killing of Caroline Love, Shauna Hawk, Audrey Spain, Valencia Jumper, Michelle Stinson, Vanessa Mack, Betty Bucom, Brandy Henderson, and less than 12 hours before, Deborah Slaughter. He also admitted to murdering a prostitute whose name he never knew, whose story he never told, but he concealed their body in a remote area not far from where he dumped Caroline Love. So, at approximately 10 p.m., just 5 hours after the police arrested Henry Wallace, he was charged with murder. He told the police officers that he felt like, quote, a big burden had been lifted, end quote. Which, like, fuck you. You don't get to feel good about this situation.
Place that back.
Yeah, fuck
place
you.
Place it right back down.
So Henry went on trial in September of 1996, the year I was born. And was pronounced guilty.
Wait, year and month.
What?
Year and month you were born.
Yeah, year and month. Yeah, year and month. Wow, I'm glad you recognize that. And on January 7th, 1997, Henry was declared guilty of all 9 counts of first-degree murder.
Good.
Henry Wallace was given 9 death sentences and currently sits on death row in Raleigh, North Carolina.
So this is what I'm going to say next is excessive, and I don't actually agree with it, but is he going to be like...
He doesn't have a date.
Can we bring him to the brink of death 8 separate times?
And then
kill him the 9th?
Yeah, so he knows, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there is still one major question left unanswered here, but we all probably know the answer. Why did it take so long for the police to respond to a serial killer amongst the population?
I think I can answer that.
Yep. Dee Sumter, who was Shauna Hawk's mother, stated that the victims were, quote, not prominent people with social economic status. They weren't special, and they were Black, end quote.
Yep. That's exactly what I had in case.
Deborah Slaughter's father also said at a later time, quote, to me, the girls just weren't important to the police. They didn't live in a high-rent district. They weren't famous or known. They worked in fast food joints, and they didn't have blonde hair and blue eyes, end quote.
This is just ridiculous. Can you imagine being those families and you're basically being told, like...
You're not important, sorry. Just by the way you look, you're not important.
Yeah.
Fuck off. So since being incarcerated, Henry has actually confessed to killing other women. He claims to have committed murders while stationed all around the world with his time in the Navy. And if true, these murders bring his death toll to nearly 20. On June...
How did he skate by in the Navy like that?
I don't know.
Doing drugs, committing crimes, and possibly murdering people?
Still with an honorable discharge, and still people, like, I don't want to say they respected him, but, like, they knew him, and he was murdering these women, and no one linked it together. Like, what the fuck? And that is a story of Henry Wallace, also known as the Taco Bell Strangler.
Gives Taco Bell a bad name.
No, you're right. Taco Bell doesn't deserve this kind of bad publicity. But yep, that's the story of the Taco Bell Strangler.
I hate it.
Me too. It's hard.
Well, there's the 2 serial killers for October.
Yeah. And what, next? The next episode
maybe
won't
that's
be in
what
October.
We should do. Maybe that's what we should do, though. We should just have, like, themed months.
Yeah. All serial killers, all missing. Maybe. Let us know. Send us a voice message if you'd like that.
Yeah.
Also, we're going to have photos of Henry Wallace and the victims on our Instagram. So be sure to stop by our Instagram. Horse for whore.
Maybe we'll make a Facebook group too.
Yeah. Yeah, we might do that. I want a community where I can have all the people I love with me. That's it for this week. We hope you join us in 2 weeks for... another riveting case, hopefully something a little bit lighthearted because our last 2 episodes have been down in the dumps.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. But we love you guys. Have a fantastic Halloween. Everyone watch Hocus Pocus 23 times like me, and we love you. Bye.
Bye.